You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by our women's panel, Laura Blackley, Carol Rifkin, and Wendy Gillespie. Today, we're talking about women in the region and regional musicians and what makes them unique and notable.
I think a big thing is that, just like you were saying earlier, Wendy, we are part of a small, unique community. You know, there are a number of styles that are indigenous to this region, namely bluegrass and old time, which we've got a maven of that genre sitting right here, Carol. But also the fact that I think it's a very supportive music scene, specifically in the Asheville area. I mean, I talk about it because that's where I live. But, you know, I see a lot of people going out there helping each other. It doesn't matter the genre that they're in. I mean, we have every style in Asheville. I know there are females playing punk rock. There are females definitely doing the old-time thing, bluegrass, pop, rock and roll, blues, folk. It pretty much crosses every genre. There's, as far as a regional identity, I know the old-time and the bluegrass is strong in that, but it seems to me that things are about to pop, specifically over in Asheville. I think that's a large part of what makes it unique. And these aren't, you know, hacks. These are really talented musicians that could probably get a gig in any other town in the U.S. if they wanted that.
There are so many women really standing out that have come to Asheville, I think, maybe in the last 10 years. And a lot of folks who are from there that are stepping up and saying, but there is an explosion in women in music, I think, within the region and particularly in Asheville. If you look at going back to the, oh, you can only have one girl act at a time to balance it out, that is no more. People like the Biscuit Burners who came to town, and we've got Shannon Whitworth and Carrie Sickenberger from Polecat Creek, Delia Loban, Martha Scanlon, you know, Shannon Whitworth, just a whole new world of women who are writing music, playing music, and they're not really allowing themselves to be defined by the genre. They are defining the genre, and that's what I see as different. It used to be if you wrote an all-time song and you didn't stay in this groove, you'd be so criticized, but they're stepping outside and they're writing original material within the realm and scope of what they're doing, and people love it. No, it's okay. And I think that's going on in all the niche music. I see women really succeeding in particular niches that they've found that people like. And maybe that's the wave of the future. No, what do you think, Wendy Lou?
Well, I had an experience recently where I was involved in the Monkey Well Festival in Greensboro. And it was really incredible. And, you know, the Monkey Well is something all its own. But two of our artists locally, Now You See Them and Stephanie Zid, both played. And the first night of the festival, Now You See Them played. And as an Ash villain, walking through the audience, taking pictures and stuff, to hear, wow, where are these guys from? They're awesome. I mean, and Dulcie's up there, and I think she's one of the people who's really up and coming. And she's brilliant. You know, they're all brilliant. But she really stands out to me as one of those females who can take it and who will be a dominant, strong personality with her music. But it was awesome to see, like, all these people, you know, they're going, where are they from? And I was like, yeah, they're from Asheville. It really made me proud, you know, to see, like, and then that's where they met Holy Ghost Tent Revival. They started talking, and now they do gigs together, and they get this whole new thing going on. And I really think you said the internet was part of it, and that's how we all met, was on the internet, and that's how they got into it. And Dulcie's really into the social media and really use it to really promote themselves. And then seeing Stephanie Zid the final night, it was the packed house. I mean, there were people rolling in across the street because they heard it from outside, and she dominated, and it was really beautiful to see, and it made me really, really happy and excited to be there, and happy for her, and happy for the artists that from North Carolina, and you see this big community starting to grow, and it's exciting,
very exciting, and to be a part of something that you got to see from the ground up, before Asheville gets to say where an Austin is or another music town like Seattle. I mean, it's just kind of in that jumping off place right now. And that's kind of where all the cool energy is crackling,
Oh, I hope you're right. Asheville songwriter scene, though, has always been a real strong place for women and has always stood out there, even when it wasn't happening across the board in other genres. I've always loved all kinds of music and like to step outside of my barriers and be part of it. But I remember when it was David Wilcox and Chuck Brodsky and Annie Lally yep. and Nance Pettit and the women and Christine Kane, and they played a major role in what was going on in Asheville and the Black Mountain scene. And I think that tradition is still happening in Asheville. That's always, for some reason, that's always been okay in Asheville to really take the ball and run with it, was songwriting, and women have been a big part of that. I see that a lot now with, well, folks like Laura doing Writers in Their Own thing, but also Jenny Greer in Asheville often has lots of accomplices in putting together groups of friends and people to create songwriting things and sessions, and it's a really wonderful networking thing in Asheville.
And what's really awesome, though, talking about Laura Blackley, so what I didn't have, you know, growing up in Winston, in my area at least, was not knowing really anybody locally. But I mentioned that I was like, yeah, I'm going down to, you know, Isothermal, and I'm going to be on a panel with Laura Blackley, and they all know who Laura Blackley is.
I'm blushing on the radio.
So that's really incredible to me to see that, you know, my daughter has a connection to local music that I didn't have. You know, and I see that, like, with the Martha Bassett Band. And I met them down in Greensboro. And to see all these strong women, so many strong women in the music industry that I didn't see before, like, starting to rise to the top and really be the stars and the leaders of the industry. And I think, really, who are going to save it and really make it, Carol and Laura, for me, I can see you guys being, like, these bright, shining stars of, yes, you can do it.
Oh,
and still
you.
Be a And still live your life, you know, and not have to worry about, like, all this other stuff that the music industry used to say you had to have.
You just have to worry about your bills and
yeah.
things like
right.
that.
Right.
But,
yes.
but, doing it the right, you know, and you're
earning
both
a living.
Really, you know, great at showing these other women, yeah, it's possible. We did it. You can do it, too.
Oh, I just had a really interesting conversation with David Wilcox in which I asked him about the future of music, where it was going right now, and whether or not the interaction between the artist and the audience was changing. And he felt like it was changing dramatically, that in the future we were going to have much more access to the people who want to hear us because of the internet, that people are going to change their emphasis in music. They're not going to be trying to please everybody. We don't want to be Britney Spears and try and please everybody. We want to please the people that are going to like our kind of music, whatever that is, and or whatever that may be. And the internet has allowed us to identify those audiences and connect with them a lot. They still have to hear your music, and you still have to go out there and play, and they have to see you. But the role of the audience and the artist in regional music is changing dramatically, because it used to be so hard for regional people to get out of their area. And that's not so true now.
It's true. You know, the internet has enabled us to make a living, as opposed to trying to be
you
a
make
rich.
A living. Sorry.
Well, I did for a while. But, you know, instead of, you know, being a rich megastar where the industry's taken, you know, front end, back end, you name it, you can actually go out there and make a living if you work really hard and play a lot of places that maybe you didn't want to play. You can make a living solely doing music with the help of the internet and technology. I think it's totally possible.
Well, what about some of the other places in the region, you know, like the Angela Easterlings from the upstate, the G.D. Dovers from Charlotte? Who's from East Tennessee? Who have we got on the roster?
The Lovell Sisters.
Yeah, Lovell Sisters. Yeah. Jill Andrews from East Tennessee used to be with Everybody Feels. She just put out a great new EP. What a songwriter.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, you were talking about songwriting earlier, and that's just, yeah, cut you to the bone. I mean, it's a sad song. She definitely made a quote when I was talking with her about, you know, I don't write songs when I'm jumping rope or jumping on a trampoline or happy. I guess she obviously uses songwriting to work through some stuff. And, you know, we all do that too, I suppose. And, yeah, it's pretty cathartic.
Absolutely. I was thinking that last night. I was looking at songs that I've written saying, darn, I could really depress somebody with some of these. But I guess women and men both write, work out their songs. But what were we talking about? Regional music. What do you think, Wendy Lou?
Well, staying with that, though, as part of that, like the teenagers, you know, that I'm seeing, like, they connect with that because they're going through that themselves.
Sure.
You know, it's formative. It helps them work through it. And, you know, Jill Andrews, another monkey whaler, she's just so powerful. And you don't have to see her to know how powerful she is. You just hear her. Like, so many, like, all of the female musicians that I've heard in this region, you don't have to see them to know how powerful they are, because you can hear it. And it's really incredible, like, the strength. It's not just there. I mean, there are so many, there's a lot of pop going on, a lot of hip hop. And those genres are a little bit harder right now, DJs especially, coming up. That's one that you're starting to see women break through into. But still, DJs is very, the DJ business is very much a very male dominated still today. But you still see them, and, you know, talking on Twitter with people about women in the music industry, they take their inspiration from cross genre and other people that they've met locally. And it's not about, oh, just my genre. It's about, like, I see another woman out there who's like a beacon for me that says, yes, I can do this. And I think that's powerful.
It seems like, you know, 10, 20, even 30 years ago, radio was done so differently that when you had a strong regional identity, you know, for example, New Orleans comes to mind, and the radio that you hear when you drive through the Gulf Coast, it definitely is indicative of that strong regional identity. I think we have that, but I think it's just the genres have opened up, like you said. I mean, we more identify with just being a really, really powerful music community, but the genre is not as important as it used to be.
I think the importance of maintaining regional identity is becoming important to people. I think for a long time we were all fine with, oh, you know, it's okay if nobody has an accent and we're all the same and music is all, you know, just all over the place. But I think lately, and I know WNCW has this definitely a role in that, people all of a sudden say, wait a minute, I don't want to lose my regional identity. I'm proud of my regional
Absolutely.
Identity. I want this to be what I am and what I'm part of, and I want to be able to make the choice to hear it. And I know this to be true. When I sit on the air on Sundays doing the old time show, I get calls from, I'm flabbergasted at the places I get calls from. I get calls from Washington, D.C., where people are saying, we can't hear this here, you know, or Atlanta. I get a lot of calls from Atlanta, or people who stream from Alabama or something like that, and say, man, we're so happy that you do this music. I can't hear this where I live. And it makes it all great. But I had never had any intention of becoming a DJ, and I'm an accidental DJ who absolutely loves it. Are we accidents, Laura? I mean, it's really cool, and lots of men have taken a lot of time to teach me.
That's great.
So, yeah, a lot of nice people have helped me through my dumb attacks, and I refer to myself as the Lucille Ball of radio quite a bit, because there's discs flying and cases on the floor or whatever, but it couldn't be more fun.
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you were talking about a strong regional identity, and, you know, just to open it up, not just Appalachia, but the South as a whole. I talked to Caroline Aiken once, and just a really entertaining performer and really personable. And she's, you know, the thing she said to me that stuck out was, well, gosh, Laura, they're all trying to get to the South. They want to sound like us. They all want our music. And I think that's very true. You know, a lot of the great American music styles, this is where they were born. I mean, they might have come over here from Africa, but this is where they festered.
You know, I was 13 before I knew that the Rolling Stones were from England, because, you know, they sounded like my family. You know what I mean, like, you listen to them, they sound Southern, you know, to me, at least they did. And I was like, but no, they're not. Like, yeah, they are. My brother's like, yes, they're from England. I'm like, well, honky tonk. He was like, yeah, they're from England. I was like, yeah, but he's like, yeah, they all want to sound like us because we're cool, because of Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I'm like, oh. Who was first?
Didn't the Stones
like,
come first?
Like, yeah, I think the Stones came first. He was like, yeah, it's still
wow.
Lynyrd Skynyrd. Huh. You know, I was like, oh, okay.
Well, Southern women have become cool. I mean, I remember when it wasn't cool to be Southern when you went to New York, and now it's cool to be Southern when you go to New York, so
yeah.
Something's going on.
There's definitely been a shift in perspective.
Yeah, there's a real shift. I mean, maybe we are getting cool, so.
Yeah, there's definitely a generation where success on a stage outside of this region meant in a lot of ways, in a lot of endeavors, that you lose the Southern accent.
Yeah, I go places and people are like, you're not from North Carolina. But as a kid, because I can hear my Southern accent. At least I think I can, and other people can too that I know. But like, I'll go out places, and I think it was because when I was a kid, if you sounded Southern, you were stupid. You know, that's what you learn from the TV. It's like, if you want people to think you're smart, you lose the accent. You know, and for me, I mean, I think that's one of those things that kind of stuck, and I kind of hate that. But I'm letting it ease back into my, you know, because I just kind of recently noticed. I was like, well, maybe that's why that happened. And I noticed it, because if you go somewhere and you sound Southern, people think, oh, well, they're backcountry, backwoods. And my family is backcountry and backwoods, but they're not stupid.
No.
You know, I mean, so it's really, that's interesting, because it's just, I found that, you know, I would go to California, like, well, you're not from the South. And I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm from Winston-Salem.
Hip.
Winston-Salem, RJR, that's where I'm from.
Yeah, Southern accents are about the prettiest thing there is. I can't understand why everybody doesn't want to talk this way.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree with you now. But I think as a kid, I think it was that if you want to make it, you need to lose that accent.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about women in the region and today on What It Is with our women's panel. Wendy Gillespie, Carol Rifkin, Laura Blackley. Email us whatitis@wncw.org. For Public Radio, I'm Joe Kendrick. Until next time.